And I won't get into all of that because, I mean, I studied into that and found out where it originated from and how it's trying to get. And as a shepherd, as a pastor under Jesus, I have to make sure that I don't let pagan worship and all of that stuff happen to us. And it's spiritual adultery, you know, and because the more that's allowed into a person, a church, or a person's life, it takes away the realness of the resurrection and what it's all about, you know. And so, you know, today the world celebrates Easter, and that's fine. Do your thing, do your thing, you know. But we as the church, we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He was raised from the dead. And had he not been raised, so anyhow, the resurrection is the title. If he had not have been raised from the dead, I would be dead today in the natural. I know that I would have destroyed myself, you know, because of the cares and the troubles and the lifestyle that I'd lived had led me down a road of hurt and destruction and all of that. But because of this resurrected Jesus, you know, and he didn't just do it yesterday. This was done over 2,000 years ago that he was raised from the dead. But it was always, the Bible says, that he was the lamb slain before the foundation of the earth. So this was the will and plan of God for redemption for mankind. And I mean, it's a powerful thing, the resurrection. See, the resurrection to us, I mean, we celebrate Jesus, which equals life and power, dominion, victory over death, hell, the grave, poverty, lack, sickness, the curse. I mean, that's way better than Easter. I've not really caught as much flack this year because I've not really went out on the limb like I usually do because, you know, I mean, I'll attack the Easter Bunny and blah, 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 and get it out there and, you know, and all of that stuff. And I thought, well, you know, this year, you know, Bess, she told me, she said the Facebook Live went off sometime or another during Sunday school. And I looked at her and I said, well, the ones that wanted it should have come to church. I'm big on church. Jesus died for the church. Jesus died and established the church. And the Bible says that he's the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. And I am 100% confident that if a person, I asked April now, her job, this resurrected Jesus, because she's an example to me in this manner. I'm glad she's back there. She won't hear this, but I mean, she goes to work, and they don't tell her you got to work Saturday and Sunday. She's supposed to go work, and to my understanding, 5 days a week, and then it all changed really quick. It changed really quick. That girl works 10 or 11 hours and drives straight from work to here. And now I'm not trying to boast April up, but I'm telling you right now, she's got this resurrected power flowing to give her strength. She goes in her own strength. That was really good. We go in our ability, but he adds his ability. When he adds his ability, then we can do all things through Christ to strengthen. So I walked by her this morning because she told them, she said, well, they said, you know, you get three Sundays, you don't come to work, you're fired. Well, I've been believing God that she stood up and she told them, well, that's just the way it is, you know. At least I've got three more weeks because she's not giving up her Sunday. She don't give up her Wednesday. Amen. She don't give up her Wednesday. She works 10, 11, 12. I mean, the girl, she's popping buffering when she gets in, I guess, or whatever. Tylenol. You know, she gets the shoulder rub on the front pew. I mean, she's sitting there nearly going to sleep, you know, just wore out, tired. So I walked by this morning, and I asked her, I said, have you got any strikes yet? She said, no, I haven't got no strikes yet. I said, Jesus is good. She made up her mind, I'm going to put God first. I'm going to put him first. Now, I'm talking about the resurrection. See, it didn't just happen on Easter Sunday, what they call Easter Sunday. the one time a year is not the only time that this power is available. This power is been in my life for over 28 years, not on a certain day, but every day. God's Word, He was the Word. He was the resurrection on its way. The resurrection came from God. John 1. Put that Matthew 27. So I thought, God, you're going to make an example out of Miss April that fights for her right to come to church. And you're going to demonstrate your power where it is very evident to everybody in that building and those that are listening by way of internet and all of that. If you put God first, you will be strong. You will get rooted. You will be built up. You will be empowered. You will feel it. You will have joy. You will have peace. You will have hope for your future in a supernatural seeing. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent, as Jesus on the cross, and from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. The rocks broke, and the grave, look at this. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which were dead, slept, arose. I'd never really noticed that. I thought those bodies were resurrected because the power of the resurrection, God, that was God's power raising Jesus from the dead. And that it was so powerful that graves opened up and bodies came out. And I'm telling you that today we're by faith. I mean, we're living in faith in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and it's bringing that God power life to us today. Hallelujah. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went to the holy. You know, they were probably about to faint down there in that city. I mean, their kinfolk done dead. They done died and put them in the ground. And the ground opened up. And these came out and they go back to their cities. I mean, that's amazing. It says, and they came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the city and appeared unto many. See, you know, this day is watered down by the world. The Bible says, be not conformed to this world, this world's way of doing, this world's way of being. It says the traditions of men has made the Word of God not effective. Not in my house. Not in my heart. This day right here is a reminder of me that my life was broken. I was at a point of suicide. I was not a wise guy. And he came in. The Holy Spirit came and brought this resurrection power into my living room, into my life when I let it in. And it has been transforming my life for 28 years. As I let it. Just like the word. Tracy's been on the Word. She can't even get past the stony ground. See, stony ground people won't fight for their right to go to church. Stony ground people don't have no deep spiritual roots. They don't have no deep spiritual conviction. And the reason why is they hear the Word. We've heard the Word. I've been there. I've heard the Word and not apply the Word, not meditate on the Word, especially if it's something I really don't like. I mean, I can meditate and quote the Scriptures on finances, but what about loving my enemy? See, what about that? See, because that over here, the finances are no good without the love of God. See, and when he asked me to do that, then he's wanting, he's inviting me to let this resurrection power work so that I do become, like Teresa talked about this morning, you know, been almost a year and I hadn't been mad enough to come unglued. That's torment to a Christian. That you get mad enough that you lose it and you sin and you come short and you need all of that. Then you got to do repenting and you got to go back and you got to start over. That's bondage. To me, it is to me. But the resurrection power, now, see, it's the God, Jesus is the Word. John chapter 1 tells us, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word come down and dwelt among us, the only begotten of the Father. And I read that this morning about the first fruits. It's not in my message, but I read it. Sitting down yesterday and they was talking about Easter and the guys, I go down there on Saturday when I can with them guys from Redeemed. That's come through the program. Some of them still in the program, but it's always good. And they were talking. I mean, we were sitting there, and this one guy, he said, why did God want us to keep His commandments? Why did God tell us to keep them? Like that. And I said, the Bible says that God is a jealous God. He wants our hearts to be after Him. I said, He's a jealous God. I said, and the Bible says that He will put, that He'll have no other gods before Him. He won't have an Easter bunny and honor it. He won't color eggs and honor it. He don't care about none of that. He cares about life. He cares about redemption. He cares about victory. He cares about and knows that takes the place and waters down to the world and to the church, the resurrection of Jesus. See, where resurrection is, people's raised from the dead. Absolutely raised from the dead. So I told those guys, you know, we're sitting there and I didn't know because they got a book that they're going by. They'll read a story and then it's got questions and it asks questions, how does this relate to you and all that. And I'm sitting there, you know, and I told them, I said, it's kind of like me. I said, I've been married a long time. I said, I've been married about 38 years. I said, why he did that, he said, it's not a bunch of rules and regulations now through Jesus. I said, it's life. I said, it'd be like if my wife starts talking to a guy, starts giving attention to a guy, you know, in the natural. I said, that would hurt me. I said, that would hurt me. Like that. And they said, oh yeah, we could see that. I said, that's why he don't want another God taking his place in our hearts. I said, that's why he put the commandments. I said, but we couldn't keep them. Now Jesus, through faith in Him. I said, you know, I said, and then one guy says, well, you know, my problem is covetousness. I want more. And I told him, I said, there's nothing wrong with wanting more. I said, dream big, but keep your heart right. Keep it after Jesus. Well, when you do that, when we do that, then this resurrection power is continually working, bringing death to the flesh, but bringing life to our spirits. The resurrection is going to bring death to the flesh. My will, my wants, anger problems, you know. Whatever problem we have, being unfaithful. Being unfaithful to the Lord, unfaithful to, you know, I mean, I can be at work and not give them a good day's work. That's being unfaithful. Somebody told me not too long ago, I asked about somebody, and I said, how is he doing? He said, well, doing good. So I went in his own minute, doing good, he just don't want to work. He said, ain't that the majority of us? And I said, no. No. And I left, and I thought, no, the Bible tells me to work with my own hands. that I would have to give. So I want to work. I'm not going to think like, see, the Word of God, when the resurrection power is working, and it is, if you're in faith, if you're walking in faith, if you're living, trying to live by faith. And I told those guys, because that's where I am, I said, you can live comfortable in faith. And they looked at me and they're like, comfortable in faith? Come on. I said, yeah. I said, you can build your faith to where you're just comfortable. Faith gives you rest, right? Right? Faith gives you rest. The Bible says labor to enter into the rest of God. Labor to enter in. What does that mean? Fight for your right to go to church. I'm going to drive this home in this last day. I don't care if the church gets plumb tired of hearing going to church. Well, you know what? When you're faithful, ask the ones that are faithful. When you are faithful, that don't bother you at all. You're like, yeah, man, yeah, hallelujah, yes. All it does is builds up the ones that are faithful, fortifies, strengthens, hallelujah. It does. I know what I'm talking about. I've been on both sides. I've been where I wasn't faithful every service, and I've been where I'm faithful every service. I'm faithful every service. I don't have to be. I don't. Now you're the pastor. Don't put normal Christians and pastors on different levels of being faithful. Right? Come on now. We want this resurrection coming our way. We want it flowing. Hallelujah. See, I used to think, you know, my mom was mostly Cherokee Indian. And her mom was full-blooded. My pawpaw married her off the reservation. And I don't know, I think they, you know, I was convinced that the temper and all of that stuff that I used to have was because I had a lot of Indian in me. But you know, the Lord told me one time, he said, no. He said, you can have that excuse if you want it. That allows you to do that because you're of an Indian descent. He said, he didn't say it to cop out, but that's what it is. He said, no, he said, you have trained yourself to be angry. He said, you have yielded to it. He said, you have lived it. You have done it over and over and over whenever you wanted to, and now I'm trying to kill it. He said, no, he said, that is the human nature. He said, the sin nature, the human side of mankind are angry, selfish, bitter, hallelujah, resentful, unforgiving, unfaithful, hallelujah. He said, but when my he said, I'm in you now. He said, I'm in you now. He said, Christ in you, the hope of glory. This resurrection power that raised these people out of the grave when Jesus was rose from the dead. I mean, he wasn't even trying to raise them from the dead. Give me that other, Beth. I think it's, yeah. See, that whole chapter right there is talking about the crucifixion of Jesus. Chapter 27. 28 is talking about pretty much the resurrection of Jesus. It says, and in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the tomb. That's what that means. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance, talking about Jesus, his countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And the fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. They fell out, man. They just fell out. Yeah, I would too, man. And the angel answered and said to the woman, Fear ye not, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He's not here. He's risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. And you know what? Before this happened over there, I read some of the story. I didn't really realize it, but that's why you need to read the Word. I've read this whole story. I don't know how many times. I've preached it. I don't know how many times. You know? But over there, there was a man that went to Pilate. His name was Joseph. The Bible says he was a rich man, and he was a disciple. And I thought, right there, man, the rich people over there following Jesus think it's all broke and busted. No, they wasn't. And he went to Pilate, and he said, I want the body. The King James got it wrong because I looked it up. It said he begged for the body, but he didn't. He went over there and said he demanded the body of Jesus. And so he goes and he commanded the body to be given. Okay, then Joseph goes, and Joseph, there used to be a song me and my brother sang, he was buried in a borrowed tomb. Jesus was buried in a borrowed tomb. Didn't need it but just a little while. But that tomb was that rich man's that he had went and carved out, and he put Jesus in that tomb, in his tomb. And here come the Pharisees, the scribes and the Pharisees to Pilate. And they tell Pilate, this deceiver, which they was talking about Jesus, this deceiver, he said, we know that he said on the third day that he's going to rise. He said, we need to go guard that tomb. He said, because that deceiver, they call Jesus a deceiver, he's got them deceived. And if we don't guard that tomb, then they're going to go steal him and they're going to say that he rose again. Well, now some of them, they went over there and they told him, they said, okay, they give them a lot of money. They shouldn't have did it. But they paid them big money to go lie on Jesus. And I thought about the Easter Bunny. I thought that's a big lie that is told and celebrated in the churches to water down the power of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, he's not involved in Easter bunnies. He's not involved in Easter eggs. And I'm like I told those guys yesterday, they said, what about your church? I said, what about the other churches? I said, they are none of my business. I said, churches are none of my business. Whether they do or whether they don't, that is not for me to decide whether they should or whether they shouldn't. I said, but as for this church that I have been put over, that I will give an account to the Lord one day for what I let go on in that church. I said, and I will not have the Easter bunny in there, and I will not have Easter eggs. I will not celebrate. The world celebrates Easter. We celebrate Jesus. And I'm not downing them. Y'all go have fun. Y'all go need it if you don't get right with Jesus, because you're going to know hell is hot. And it's real. It's outer darkness. And it's not even made for you. Jesus, this resurrected Jesus, come and died and rose and ascended and brought the power so that we could be defeating death, hell, and the grave. He says, oh, death, where is your victory? Grave, death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory? It's swallowed up in victory. That's why Paul said to die is gain. For me to die is gain, hallelujah. See, and this anointing makes this word real to me. Come on, Lord Jesus. A lot of people are like, I don't want the Lord to come right now. Why not? Then some of them are like, I wish he would get us out of this hell basket. Now, both of them ain't wrong. Both of them are wrong. I'm not in a hurry, but I'm not afraid of his coming. Let God let that eastern sky bust wide open. Let him send his angels to the four winds and gather us up. I'm on that old Zion ship, baby. I'm out of here, so it don't make. But until he does, I'm all up. Until he does come, I'm going to make sure that I'm consecrating my heart to Jesus and operating in the resurrection power. While I'm here, I go in the natural. That's really good. I go in the natural, but God adds his supernatural. I told the Lord this morning, I said, thank you, Lord. I said, thank you, Lord. I said, I don't just celebrate you on this what the world calls Easter Sunday. But I'm sitting in the car waiting on Teresa. And I said, but God, I walk in this resurrection power every day, ever since I give my heart to you, sir. Thank you, Lord, for your son Jesus that was raised from the dead. Hallelujah. Where are we at? Right here. Yeah, give me the next one, Beth. Let's see if we can move a little further. Hallelujah. I'm healed today. Woo, I'm rich. Two of y'all. It was more of y'all hollered when I said healed. I'm not under the curse. I've been redeemed by his life, by this resurrected life. How about you? Go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There you shall see him. Lo, I have told you, and they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus, who was raised from the dead, this is after he's raised from the dead, met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. I mean, they're shocked. They're like, it happened. You're back, baby. We seen you on that cross. We seen you when they said he's calling for Elijah. Elijah had already come. We saw him. They said he must be calling Elijah. We're going to see if Elijah comes. And they go by him and they say, oh, come on there, King of the Jews. If you was king, son of God, you could come down off of here. No. His love for God in us kept him on that cross. The Bible says they would not have crucified the Lord of glory if they had really believed that he was the Son of God, but they couldn't, because he was destined to go to that cross. He was destined for it. Then Jesus said to them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. And then he goes into Galilee, and he done told them, y'all go down there, y'all gather in the upper room. He said, tarry there, wait there, till you be endued with power from on high. And I did a message one time about tarrying. Hey, people won't stay in church. They won't stay. They'll go a time or two, and they'll go to get Jesus to meet their little need or whatever, but they won't tarry. They won't stay. They was 500 in the upper room or so that when they went up there. They was 500 went up to wait on the power that Jesus told them that they would receive. But there was only a couple of hundred of them there when the power fell. See, a lot of times God won't show up in His power. He tells people to go to church, and He gets them in there, and He just, I mean, He busts a miracle on them here, and bust a miracle on them there, and bust a miracle on them here. Give them a little taste of His goodness. That's what the Bible says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Then He kind of backs off and says, okay, the pacifier's got to leave, and now the diapers are got to come off now. Now you got to come on. You got to come off of the milk, start drinking some water. You got to give, come on, give Travis a little gravy and biscuit now. He ain't got to have that nasty baby food. I tried that stuff. I don't know why little babies like it. He's foot long, 8 minutes now. He grew up. I'm still on a trip, Mac. I've been on a trip ever since I got saved. This is a good trip. You know, serving God, this Jesus that come down here, and we fix and see some more things. See, I'm talking today about the benefits of this resurrection. Not the resurrection, it's over. 2,024 years ago is when this happened. Or roundabout. I told them guys yesterday, he said, one of them said, What is the Sabbath? I said, it's today. He said, the Sabbath is today? I said, yeah, the Jewish calendar. Sabbath is Saturday. Sunday is the first day of the week. He said, why do churches then, you know, said go to church on Sunday? And I said, I don't know. I've not found scripture for it yet. I said, other than, you know, we all work Monday through Friday. Off on the weekend, maybe. I said, I don't know. I said, but one thing that I do know is church is in me. I said, Jesus is not Sunday and Wednesday. I said, Jesus is every day, 24/7. I said, church is just a building where we come together and assemble together, to worship together, to sing together, to break the word of life together, to learn of His ways together. I said, that's all that building is. I said, it's just disciples coming together and God building us up, knitting us together. I said, that's all it is. Not all of y'all like me, no. You love me, huh? See, I preached a sermon one time. I said, you know, God sends what we need in packages we don't necessarily want. I mean, He sent me Teresa. I would not have picked her. I'm talking about after I got saved and got little... You know, I thought she was the devil's daughter, man. I mean, I'm like, God, I knew I messed up. I was lost, man. Maybe I should have. But see, she's what I needed, man. She helped me. She helped me. I hate to say this because she's going to use it against me, Mac. She better not. No, I needed somebody strong, strong-willed, firm. You know, Travis calls it ride or die. Me and her were like Bunny and Clyde. If I got into a fight and it got uneven, she'd get a gun. She'd shoot the car, man. I mean, she'd kill him. I'd be like, man, go back in the house with a gun. We don't need it right now, gosh. Well, get over here into the kingdom. We need some backbone concerning the things of God. Willing to go through some floods and willing to go through some fires, willing to go through, and I needed her to help me, to remind me that Jesus is the way. Jesus. Hallelujah. I mean, here Jesus goes and tells the disciples back, I'm going to be crucified. They're going to deliver me up. They're going to, and Jesus, Peter rebukes him. God forbid. Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. You think about the things of the world. You think about the way you feel. You think about what you want. But I'm thinking about eternity and life going to a lot of more people. So he told him, get behind me, Satan. Give me something else, Beth. I got about 10 minutes. Whew. Here we go. In the beginning was the Word, John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Talking about Jesus. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And all things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth into darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe Jesus. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came to his own, and his own received him not. But this is what I want you to see right here, verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. To everybody that believes on the Lord Jesus, that he was crucified, he was buried, and raised from the dead, and did it to give us life. Anybody that believes him releases their faith in God through Jesus. Through what? God, listen, Jesus was a manifestation of God. God in the flesh. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you have seen the Father. So Jesus was God in his body, making himself known, showing us him, and sent him to here, and that's what he was. He said, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. If you are not born again today, you have never experienced the resurrection power of Jesus. If you're not born again, you those graves opened up and people came out. I acknowledged this resurrected Jesus and I was dead and came to life. And I got up and I'm like, man, what happened? What happened to me, man? Something happened to me. I'd said the sinner's prayer before, Matt. People led me in the sinner's prayer. But the Bible declares that no man comes to the Father lest they are drawn. And people were doing their part, you know, trying to witness and get people saved. And I am sure not against that. But for what my heart wasn't really real, me and Teresa said it out of our mouth. Let's just say it with them where they'll leave us alone. I mean, they're getting us every time we get around. So we figure if we just make out like we're getting saved here, they'll leave us alone, man. I was a con. I could con them that wasn't spirit-led. And so we did it. Oh, they're happy. Oh, yeah. Yeah, baby. We lasted about 3 months in church. You know why? We didn't have this resurrection power. We really wasn't right with the Lord. I mean, they convinced us we was, because the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But they forgot to tell us, believe in your heart. You got to believe it now. And so anyways, Once I surrendered, the power came. I've been a different man ever since. I'm not perfect. Got a long way to go. I mean, I need help, man. I need help from Jesus. Not as much as I did 25 years ago. Because once you get this resurrection power flowing and established in your life, it's continually working in your life because of your walk of faith, because of your stance of faith, because of your willingness to be willing and obedient to the Lord. This resurrection, see, we can't live this life without Him. We really can't live like Jesus without His resurrection life. And His Word is Him. That's how come I read that I'm supposed to be rich, and I went around telling everybody I was a persecuted broke boy. Everybody thought I had money because I went around saying it, Mac, I'm rich. I'm rich. How do you figure that? I said, the Bible says Jesus became poor that I might be made rich. I said, I'm rich, man. I'm rich. Well, where's your money? I don't know. God ain't got it to me yet. What was happening? That Bible was coming alive under the power of the Holy Spirit in me, bringing reality that that is mine and that I already am that. Now see, a lot of God's people said, they're like Thomas, I won't believe it unless I see it. When I see it, I'll believe it. I had a guy one time tell me, when I see it in your life, I'll believe it. I wish he was around. Wish he was around today. I said, you didn't hang around long enough, Jack. You one of the five, you part of that 500 that didn't hang around. We all hung around. We got empowered. Buddy, they hang around, they got empowered. Walk out there, and Peter, he says, hey, gold and silver have I none, but what I give thee in the name of Jesus. Rise up. Boy, he had got a hold of that power. He should rise up and walk. And that dude jumped up, his heels straightened out, snout, pop, crackle, whatever they done. Went around leaping. Oh, I got to go to church now. Oh, yeah, baby. Took off telling everybody about it. That's us down here. You think I'm going to let some holiday this world celebrates water down this man Jesus in my life? Not going to happen. Black God, He's Jesus on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. He's not Santa Claus either. He ain't just wait on me to climb down your chimney. Nah, He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and He is always, all good things come from Him. Give me something else, Beth. Man, I ain't getting no word. The God, look this now in Ephesians here. The God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. We got it, baby. We got it. In the knowledge of Him. That Bible gives us knowledge of Him. He was crucified, buried, and raised. Hallelujah. He was the Word made flesh. His Word is alive. His Word is quick, Hebrews 4:12. That Bible is alive. That Bible has the Zoe life, the resurrection life, through the Holy Spirit working with it, quickening the body of Christ to revelation and knowledge of God, to the point to where we know we're healed. And black God, they got us on the table cutting us open, and we're still saying, black God, we're healed. That's what it does. He said, the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that we may know what is the hope of His calling, what is the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the seen, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe. We just read it. To those that believe, He give power to become the sons of God. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe? According to the working of His mighty power. What's that? According to the working of God's mighty power. Go ahead, it's fixing to tell you. Which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. There it is. Hallelujah. That's the power we got. That's the power we got. The Bible says, it don't mean get away from the elementary doctrine, but it says moving past the elementary doctrine of the cross and move on into sonship, to perfection, to maturity. How do you do that? Sunday school's telling us. Well, we didn't come to Sunday school. That's your fault.
That is your fault. God set a table before you in the presence of your enemies. Your cup should have been running over. Well, I was sleepy. So was I. But God, I wanted to go back to bed myself. I was tired. I worked all week. Don't give me that. I did too, man. I put in some hours last week and the week before. About 2 months now. I understand all that. No. God, you know what? It's kind of like Aubrey and them to me, you know. I had some money in my pocket yesterday, just in my shirt pocket. And they come out the house and give Tracy her birthday card or whatever. And they're over there, and so Aubrey, she don't like being told what to do. You know, she just don't like that. Ain't that the nature of the flesh? I mean, you know, until we humble ourselves, that's all of us. Don't ain't nobody telling me nothing. Tell me how to be a wife. Don't try to tell me how to be a husband. Don't tell me I got to go to church every time the door's open. Don't tell me I got to be faithful to that God-forsaken job down there. So anyways, she's having a little attitude and everything with Travis. You know, he's telling her what to do. And, you know, she's getting a little attitude. So she kind of raises her voice to me. And then Beth, don't you raise your voice to Papa, Mama. I said, come over here. I said, come over here, baby. I said, Papa's got something. I said, no, I told Aiden. I said, go tell Aubrey. She went in her bedroom. She's soiling a little, you know. I said, go tell Aubrey to come to Papa. He goes in there. Hey, Aubrey, Papa wants you to come in here. She said, I'm not going. He comes back there. Papa, she said, no. I said, well, go back and tell her again that Papa's got something for her. He said, goes back in there and tell her, fine then. That's the way when she gives in, she just says, fine then. So she comes in there, and I said, come on over here, baby, right over here. Get up here. And then Aiden's like, Papa's got something for us. So he gets up in my lap, both of them. Now I got both of them in my lap, you know. And Aubrey's going to sit there just a second, and she says, I'm getting down. I said, well, you ain't stayed there long enough. She gets over and sits on a little ottoman. I said, you haven't sat there long enough to get the gift yet. Fine. Gets back up in my lap. I said, just relax. Just let her. I said, now. I said, reach in Papa's front pocket and get that gift. I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, I'm going to overcome this evil with good. This devil that's trying to make her rebellious and make her against her dad, whatever. Don't make no difference. I can't explain all that spiritual stuff. I know what the Bible says. And you know what? They pulled that out and said, ooh! I said, yeah. Ooh! It's $20 each, man. Yeah. I said, now go tell Grandma to give you some quarters because y'all fixing to go to the grocery store. Then you can go. And I got them off all that attitude. I mean, just a few seconds, they were off all that. Oh, they're just around and they're ready to do whatever now. Where I could have jumped up and got that leather belt and smacked them, set them on the couch. Shut up, shut up, shut up. Y'all kids, if y'all getting on Papa's nerves, y'all are getting bad. No, we got that resurrection power. We do away with those demonic forces. They're subdued. Let's go and read it. I got to quit. He said, no, go back just a little. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality, all power, all might, all dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. He's our master today. He subdued darkness. And the Bible says he give us power over all the power of the enemy. And nothing by any means can harm us. This is what that resurrection power does for us. But we just don't identify with it just today. We identify with it tomorrow when the celebration time of the Passover and all that's done gone. We celebrate him just like Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday and the rest of the year, just like it's today. And then we continually have that operating. Hallelujah. Bow our heads. Father, we praise you. Lord, we thank you. You give us this because you are our